Amen. Well, that was great, Bruno. You know, I've been enthused over the last 24 hours as regards what God is doing. Is anybody else? I believe that we're living in exciting days. You know, worldwide, things like he's telling about is happening all the time. It's happening all the time. And I am greatly encouraged. I really am. I am excited. When we were praying in there, I just felt that we're about to move into the most significant time for us as a church. I just felt him tell me. And it's interesting that this morning, many churches will actually be celebrating Pentecost. Pentecost. What are the key ingredients of Pentecost? Eh? The key ingredients of Pentecost was them doing what God had said and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yep. Amen?
Amen?
The key ingredients. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to do something for those who are available, make themselves available, and say, yes, use me, Lord. I'm available. I'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
Just to fill you in on what's the reason why there's no meeting tonight and what's happened over the past few days. We had Mark Jide booked from Father Heart Ministries. Some of you have heard of James Jordan. He works for that organization. And Mark was my accountant for many, many years. He lives in Whitney in Oxfordshire. And he was recommended to me actually by Jonathan Conrath as an accountant. You know, he recommended him. So I hooked up with him for many, many years. And but now he's, you know, going all over doing ministry and speaking about the Father Heart of God. Well, anyway, Wednesday evening, I got an email saying that he was ill and he was in bed. And he said, I'll ring you when I get my voice back. Well, he hasn't rung me up to now, so I assume he ain't got his voice back yet. So what I did is I rang this lady called Liz Flautier. She's Partners in Harvest Ministry, and she travels all over the place. She works a lot in Germany, ministering. And she's been very supportive, her and her husband, I mean, of the leaders' days that we have on a Monday. So instead of Mark speaking tomorrow, she's going to come up from Cornwall. She was coming anyway to support what we're doing, and she's going to share with us. And she got me excited Friday night when she started to tell me what, because she's a prophet. And she started telling me that what she believes God is about to do. And I just got so excited, and I can't wait to hear what she's got to say tomorrow. So we're in for a good time, folks. Amen?
Amen.
But with Mark not being here, and to prepare for tonight and make sure we've got team and everything and what have you, I just cancelled it. And I was down to speak next week. And so I've given it to our Samuel, because he flies in on Wednesday. And I just thought, well, it works easy. Sometimes if you've got to start reshuffling people with our plans of 2 or 3 months, you've got to shuffle loads of people about. I just thought it worked easy. And as regards the Sunday nights, the reason for the Sunday nights is sometimes when we speak on a Sunday morning and we get into ministry time, children are out there, and it's a long time for the children's workers to occupy the children and things like that. And so I just sense that, you know, sometime or other we want a time, even if there's only a handful of us, where we just come together, no agenda, we just worship God and we press into revival. I want to see revival, folks. I got an invite to go speak in Exeter to some Christian businessmen at the end of this month. And even when we booked that up, straight away they said to me, they said, "What is really on your heart? What are you about?" So I responded to them three things. First thing is, Father, heart of God. The understanding that, you know, God loves us 1,000 times, million times more than what your earthly parents did. Loves you. Loves you. Cares for every detail of your life. That once we get that right down into the very core of our being, that it affects decisions we make, relationships we build, and how we relate to one another in church and how we relate to the world outside. Amen? What was number two? Number two was, I, for many, many years, have wrestled with the fact that church, in general, has real difficulty in passing the baton on to the next generation. I am interested in the next generation as well as the older generation, because a lot of the old generation are very disappointed, that they've never accomplished what they felt God wanted them to accomplish. But I want to work at this of how you develop the next generation. And, you know, when you listen to Paul relating to Timothy and what have you, my son in the faith and things like that, and instructing him, and you can tell that Paul knew how to affect a younger generation. Normally, we only seem to affect and really connect with our peers, similar age group to us. But there's an importance of fathers in the faith. So in other words, the younger generation have to realize that, okay, what we're going through, they've gone through already. It might have looked a little bit different because it's different times. And they can teach me, and they've got something to give. And so Timothy was open to receiving. But also Paul knew that what he had before he went to heaven, he had to give to Timothy. And he had to give to those others of that younger generation. Otherwise, it's lost forever. No, it's lost forever. What you've learnt, wherever you are in your walk with God, unless you realize that you have got something to give, and you have got something to impart to that generation, okay, you're not going to want to connect. But once you realize that your walk with God over those years and the experiences that you've had and what revelations that he's given you, they need. And it will help them. When we decided to look at releasing a leadership team of a generation younger than us, the word of the Lord came through Dave Usher and said that if you don't release them and mobilize them, then they will become discouraged. They'll feel, his actual word was, that they'll feel like they're hitting a glass ceiling. And I think that there's many of us of our age that have actually felt that over the years, that we felt like, not just in ministry, but in our walk with God, that, you know, I can see what it says in the Bible, but I've not quite, you know, seen the reality of it in my own life. And a lot of disappointment comes in. And we're dealing with people that, you know, our age, that are carrying that disappointment. And we want to lift that disappointment. We're about that. that, you know, until you go home to glory, there's no retirement in the kingdom. There's no shelf. They used to say that, didn't they? Sometimes about a single lady or something, she was left on the shelf. What a load of rubbish. Ken Dodd used to tell a joke about it when he used to come to Bradford. There's a small area of Bradford that's called Shelf. And he says, where no lady likes to be left. But, you know, in the kingdom of God, there ain't a shelf for God to put you on. There's a purpose for all of us whilst we're here. And once we take hold of what Bruno said and you realize, you know, who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ, once that gets a hold of you and you realize that you have this to give and you can change lives and you can make a difference, and it inspires you to want to do it. Don't underestimate what you've got in you. I heard a preacher say recently, he said, we have to get to a place where we're God inside minded. Where you and I know that when you walk into a situation, wherever it is, whether it's at work, whether it's a family situation, whether you're on holiday and somebody's collapsed on the floor, you're carrying Almighty God within you. Wherever you go, a life needs changing. You've got Almighty God in you. Haven't you?
Yeah.
I've taken a long time to say it, but that were number two. And number three was, I want to see revival. In my day, I want to see the thousands come into Christ. I've been to places like Bruno, and I've seen some things happen. I've seen God do wonderful things and what have you. But I tell you what, there's more. There's more. And God ain't done with us yet. And what he did then, he can do again. Again and again and again. And I'll tell you what, he can use what you think of as little old you. He can use you. Not because you're great, not because you're so wonderful and what have you, but of who is in you.
Amen.
Who resides within you. Is that right?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah.
And I believe that us as a church, I believe, to be quite honest with you, I don't even like using this term, but I do believe that the enemy has been giving a lot of us a little bit of attention just lately. But he only gives those attention that are a problem to him. He's been giving this church a bit of attention. You know, we're involved with Karen and I, the church at Bridgewater as well. And Dennis DeGrasse came, didn't know anything about that. Within the prophetic word that he gave for that church, not an individual, but that church was, and he took it from Nehemiah, and that was that Karen and I would have somebody that is friendly, nice, you know, you think of them as wonderful and what have you. They're actually working against you.
Yep.
They don't want what you want. They're going to work against you. But, you know, if you read Nehemiah, and he said this in his prophetic word, you keep your eyes on the Lord. You do what the Lord has called you to do. And Nehemiah, he accomplished, was it in 74 days, was it? No, 54 days, what others could not accomplish in 70 years. Amen? 54 days, what others couldn't accomplish in 70 years. The importance is keeping your eyes on him, looking to him, realizing that you're carrying him within you wherever you go. So anyway, it's been a long story just to tell you that those three things are my heart's passion. That's what I want. When I get up on a morning, this is what I want. This is what I want to run after. I'm not interested in 40 hours work or whatever it is, or 30 hours, whatever the church consider the paying Karen and I. I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in accomplishing those three things. That's what I want to run after. That's me. That's the type of person I am. And so, praise the Lord. So anyway, they've said to me, oh, we're all excited about that and what have you. Not only do we want you to come at the end of this month, will you do our last meeting before Christmas as well? And you can do the Christmas one. So praise the Lord. God is good. But I wanted to say that because it's really made me think over the last week or so with Karen and I had not been very well during this week. And Karen more than me. And I just thought, the enemy's giving us some attention. Why? Because of the fact that I believe that we're focused on God and we're running after him. And God is blessing what we do. God is blessing what we're doing. Amen? Yeah. We're running after God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, so I'm excited. And in that room there, someone else had a word that today is the day as well where with the thoughts in mind of the remembrance of D-Day, 75 years ago, they saw us as a church like creating our beachhead, if you like. We're all on the beach. We've arrived. We've gone through a certain period of time, if you like, to establish ourselves on the beach, and there is no going back. And it's a time now to move forward. God is going to take this church forward. Amen? Amen? We're going somewhere, folks. Now, what does going somewhere mean? It means that we are going to reflect Jesus more than we've ever done before. We're going to reflect his ministry to this community and to the wider area more than we have ever done before. Amen? Some believe it, I think. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So yeah, we're looking forward to having our Samuel with us. And as we've said, that he's going to speak next Sunday. And we're looking forward to that. He's also inspired me as well during the last week. He said to me, Dad, he said, I believe that the Lord has been speaking to me about putting away the distractions from focusing on him. I don't know whether he's going to speak about this, but, you know, sometimes he comes out with some good stuff to me. Come on, Dad, how's your walk with God? And it's wonderful sometimes, you know, when I have these connections with him. And he's talking about, you know, sometimes we can be a bit, you know, we can get into a habit of put the TV on or put the music on in the car or put the radio on and all these distractions in life. And we've got that much going on now with the phone, haven't we? I mean, what can you do on your phone now, Steve? Eh? You can reach the world from there, can't you? Whilst you're sat in here, you don't have to run out to the phone box. Hey, like you did when you were a teenager. Hey? I mean, you know, it's just, we're just bombarded with it all the time, aren't we? And the Word of God says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. It also says, when he says that my sheep hear my voice, that's a promise. That's a promise. My sheep hear my voice. And it's a promise of God. But sometimes we can't hear him because we're bombarded with other stuff. We're bombarded with all sorts of distractions. Things that we feel. I've started in my quiet time since R. Samuel said that. Not even opening my Bible. I just sit quietly. Just waiting on him. I've been practicing it this week. Just waiting, listening to him. What do you want to say to me? What does this loving Heavenly Father want to say to me this morning? A million times, maybe more, loving to me than my mother was. Bless her. A million times more than loving to me than my father was, or even any human being on this planet could be. Listening to him. What have you got to say? What has he got to say to you this morning? This is the way, walk ye in it. What's he got to say to you? You should be hearing loving things. And even if it's a correction, it's loving. He's got blessing for you. He is interested in you. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're going, no matter what's happening in your life. Yes, Lord. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. I wanted to speak on this actually for a long, long time. And because I believe that when we hear the Word of God, we have choices. What we do with it. We have a choice. It says in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. When you get up on a morning, we can choose whether we walk with God or whether we don't. Nothing to do with our salvation. We're saved. We're going to heaven. But it'll make a big difference as regards how easy this road is sometimes, walking this salvation out. Let's just read some scripture, shall we? I'm going to break in at verse 13 of Mark chapter 4. You know, it's important when there's something like this that you are putting your eyes on the Word of God. It's feeding another area. Our five senses, they need feeding with this stuff. We can feed it with our ears now, we're hearing it. But there's an importance of feeding it, and it has a greater impact on us inside, if we put our eyes on it. And also as well, what I do is, on a morning, and I have done for years, when I'm reading the scripture, whatever I feel is led me to that morning, I speak it out loud, because my ears hear it. It says in Proverbs 4, it talks about hearing. And it also talks as regards, in Romans, as regards faith cometh by hearing and hearing, hearing and hearing. Now, how are you going to hear it and hear it? You're going to have to rely on Sunday morning here. Or if you put a Christian TV channel on, you ain't going to hear it otherwise, are you? Hearing and hearing. And if we've got time, we'll move into that as regards the importance of hearing and hearing as well, again. But let's just look at this, shall we? Then Jesus said to them, this is verse 13, Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? I mean, if we're going to understand the other parables, it's a good to start here. In the Lord led me about 2.5 weeks ago to Luke 15. And I went there because I actually like speaking about the prodigal. You can actually speak to the unsaved. You can speak about the father heart of God. There's so much within there. You can pull out of there our relationships with each other. You know, the prodigal's older brother. You can relate that to sometimes how we relate to one another in church and in the home. And so I went there, and the Lord actually clearly spoke to me and said, go to the beginning of the chapter. And in Luke 15, it actually says in there that notoriously and especially wicked sinners were coming near to Jesus to listen to him. Now, we've had this thing about, you know, safeguarding yesterday and what have you. You better accept it. We've just got to accept it. That we will get some people that have come from some really, difficult backgrounds and had a lot of things go on in their life. Because where the word of God is preached, it says in Luke 15 verse 1, they will be attracted to it. They will come. It's a fact of life, folks. And one of the great things about the last year is some of the things we've built into the church now. First of all, as regards Karen and I trying to put over our heart that we're not found with members of the opposite sex, you know, on our own. You don't do it. Now, some of you ladies have been good friends of mine for years. I don't mean to say that I ain't going to, you know, and I'm going to get worried about if it happens that we're talking together, I mean, in church here and there's nobody else. I ain't going to panic about it. But it's an attitude of heart where we're not creating those situations. Revival has broken down worldwide through man's decisions, women's decisions. It's not God that's withdrawn it. They've done things like gone off with somebody else or whatever. If you analyze it, many times, or there's been a fight over who's in charge, or there's been a fight over the finances, and it brings an end to it. And so we wanted to put things in place, and over the past few weeks, we've been learning more about the safeguarding. We went to that seminar yesterday. So, folks, fasten your seatbelts. They're going to be attracted to where the word of God is preached. Amen? So here we are. We've said as regards if you don't understand this parable, you ain't going to understand the parable. You're not going to understand this. The farmer, Jesus was talking about a farmer going out and sowing seed. Now he's expanding on this and actually telling his disciples exactly what that parable meant. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. It's about sowing the word of God. The word of God is the thing that's going to change our lives. It's the word of God that you heard and got saved. It's what the Bible describes as an incorruptible seed. You've been born again with an incorruptible seed. You caught a seed that was sown in your life. And that seed is incorruptible. The seed is the word of God. And sometimes I have to question myself of how much I take of this word of God, how much I absorb it. So here we are where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Some of you may receive it with joy this morning. But by the time you've got home for that beautiful, succulent roast beef, you've forgotten all about it. And it and you've lost it. Okay? You receive with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. With trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. What that means is the enemy, whether he's picked it off the path or whether he's picked it from your heart by putting the succulent roast beef on your mind or the fact that you're persecuted when you get home. You shouldn't have been at church. You know, you've let this dinner burn. And you know, anything like that, and all of a sudden, the benefits of what you've picked up in here are gone. Joyce Meyer, she once said, and remember, she attracts thousands upon thousands of ladies. I mean, predominantly, you get a few men. If you've seen the camera scan, you know, you see an odd man here and there, and her husband on the front row. But most of them are women, and that, and she says, some people won't go to conferences, and I've heard people say this. I've heard Christians say this. I don't go to conferences because of the downer I have a few days later. That's right. Boom, you come down to earth with a bang. And you know what she says? She says it's because of sin. She says, you've set something up, look after the children for a few days, whilst you come here and what have you, and you walk in the house, oh, look at this mess and what have you, and what's happened with this, blah, 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 and it's all gone. Everything that you picked up is gone. You've let it seep right out of you by choices. That's what she says. Take it up with her if you don't like it. Write her a letter or something. Pardon? Email, yeah. Yeah, email now. That's right. You don't even have to walk down the post box now, do you? But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, and I feel the Lord is saying to somebody here right now, the worries of finances, health issues, whatever, hold on to the word of God. And don't let the worries of those things rob you of what God's saying to you. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So in other words, that bit meeting you went to was an absolute waste of time. We're up to three different people now. One of them not received it, say whether they're in the meeting or the conference. It's just gone right over their head. Okay? Enemy's just taken it. The second one, it was on rocky places and there was no root in them. Okay? It was joyful at the time. It was nice. We enjoyed that and what have you. But they lost it very quickly. And still others, they were worried, anxious, concerned about all sorts of things, and that robbed them of what God was saying to them. This loving, heavenly, caring Father who is interested in your health, interested in your finances, interested in every area of your life. There is nothing a part of you that he's not interested in. Nothing. So here we go. Things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it. Say to yourself, I mean, I ain't letting that go. Some of you have been around this church for a long time, have heard me pray sometime. You know, Lord, that we'll be like Samuel, that he never let the words fall to the ground. That's why Samuel was successful in everything he did. Whatever God had for him, whatever God spoke to him, whether, you know, whatever it was, it didn't fall to the ground. It weren't wasted on him. He was taking that, and he was going to do something with it. Amen? Others, like seed on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Because, you know, the seed is like the word of God. Sorry, like a seed that a farmer sows, that it can produce far more in you. Once it gets in there and the heart has taken it, it can and will produce more. You meditate on the word of God. You meditate on these things that I've said this morning, and it'll flourish in your heart. It'll flourish. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. This jumped out at me during the week. So you haven't heard me say this one before. Those making note. Do you know another thing as well that I've learnt just lately and what have you? It's sometimes easy to stay away from church when we're going through a difficult situation or we've got challenges health-wise or whatever. Do you know, and sometimes we don't want to go to church when we feel we've let God down. Do you know that's a time to run to God, not from him? Did you hear what I said? It's a time to run to God, not from him. But life's a challenge for me. You don't realize what I've got to put up with. Okay, well, run to God. Don't run away from him. Amen? I'll tell you something. He'll be just like the prodigal's father to you. Is that right? Read the prodigal again in Luke 15. He'll be just like that. He'll be out on the veranda looking for you. When you walk through that door, when you go into your quiet time, wherever it is, running to God, he'll be just the same. Arms open wide. You're blurting out on that, what you are, feel like this, and what have you, and he's loving on you. Amen? Here we go, Hebrews 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering into his rest, I'm wanting to get a hold of this, that I can work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, okay, but you do it from a place of rest. There's a place of rest to the people of God. That you can do what you have to do, but you can do it from a place of rest. I can rest in his arms. Is that right? And I want to say to you as a church, I've not been very good at it just lately. But I'm practicing. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it, fallen into this rest. But this is the one in verse 2 that I'm bringing you to. This is the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That Chris Stone uses. So blame him if you don't like that term. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them. No value. Because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. I personally believe that what The Lord is saying in Mark chapter 4 as regards the good seed producing, is the heart that receives it, and nothing is going to distract you from it. I believe this, I'm having it. It's your choice to take it and make it your own. Make it your own. When I mentioned as regards Val personalizing that, there are scriptures that I've personalized myself, and they've really blessed me. Like, for example, and I learned it actually from something that came from Billy Graham's wife. When she married him and what have you, he starts preaching and what have you, and they said, are you going to speak as well? Are you going to get up there and, you know, talk to, oh, you won't get me up there. I ain't going up there. And a lady friend of hers and that actually said to her, she actually took her to Isaiah 53. She started off here. And I've done this. And there's nothing wrong with doing this, because he's speaking to all of us. Surely Jesus took Dave Parker's infirmities. It takes on a whole new dimension, does this word. Doesn't it? So in other words, when we put our, and we read it as our, okay, which is true, this is true, okay, but there comes a point where you can take it personally. He's speaking to you, and he is. We can say our in here, because we're together, there's a number of us, plural. But when you're at home, the word is still relevant, but you're the only one that's there. And you can make it personal for yourself. He took Dave Parker's infirmities and carried Dave Parker's sorrows. So I don't need to have any sorrows hanging around me. Do I? They don't have any business to hang around me. The freedom from them has been bought and paid for. So after that, she became emboldened by personalizing it, building it into her life, and eventually she could get up on a platform and she could speak. But it's realizing that God is speaking to us ourselves. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. And this word is real for you and for me. Amen? Has that blessed you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For those who are making notes, 1 Corinthians 16:15 is an encouragement, okay, to become addicted to the Word of God. You can become addicted to it. We said some time ago, let's try and become addicted to the love of God. You know, people take on a lot of addictions and things like that, but become addicted to the love of God. Become addicted to the Word of God. I can't get enough of the Word of God. Amen? Let's stand, shall we?